good to see you here. I know that there's lots watching online as well, so God bless you out there in video land. But the last number of weeks, we've been talking about living on purpose. If you've been here for any length of time, you know that we talked about, you know, holy moments and the importance of, if you're going to know what your purpose is, you've got to have encounters with God. It's got to happen. Without that, you're wandering aimlessly, blind in a sense. And God doesn't want us to be blind believers, but our eyes wide open, knowing what He has planned for us. And then the week after that, we talked about holy interactions, with the idea that you take the presence of God, you take your experiences you've had with the Lord, and you go and interact to the world around you. You know, your friends and your neighbors and your coworkers, your schoolmates, you know, all of those things. The idea is that we're to take God's presence. In fact, the Bible says that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And the idea is that God abides in us, and we can take and have holy moments with individuals as we interact with them. It's really exciting. You know, when I wake up in the morning, here's how I wake up, you know, after I'm done yawning and kind of getting my eyes pried open and all that. It's like, Lord, what are you going to do today? So I woke up this morning, you know, and I've got kind of a plan on what I'm going to do, but I'm like, Lord, what are you going to do this morning? You know, that kind of like that super part, that supernatural part. And you and I can wake up every single day of the week and feel that way. It doesn't just have to be at church, because you have the, if you're a believer in Jesus, you have the presence of God, and you have an opportunity to have amazing experiences, not only with God, but with others, with God being the third party included. It's amazing what God wants to do in our lives. But we have to, in a sense, open our hearts, open our minds, and be ready for that. So when that moment comes, it doesn't just kind of pass by, but rather we can grab hold of it and glorify the Lord. Amen? This week, I want to talk to you about something a little different. So listen, when I start, you're going to think, where is this guy going? But I am going somewhere, okay? And it's okay, okay? We made it through the first service. Everyone survived, all right? So it's okay. We tested the first group. So every species that live in the world, you know, different animals and that, when they gather together as a group, they're given a name, all right? So if you have a group of fish together, what do you have? A school of fish, right? You got to wonder where some of these names came from, though, right? All right, so what about a group of monkeys? Does anyone know what they're called? A troop is usually the term used. So they might use band for different apes maybe or something, but a troop is actually Wikipedia. That's what it tells me. Don't know. You know, let's hope that they're accurate. Okay, so you have other groups. What about a group of sheep? What are they called? A flock, okay. What about a group of geese? Anybody know what they're called? A gaggle. Like, what the heck? Where do they get these names from, right? All right, so here's some stranger ones. Let's go down the road here a little bit. What about when a group of crows get together? They're called a murder. It's kind of weird, right? I wonder where they get some of these horror movies from. And there's always crows flying around. You know, the idea of pointing to that murder thing. What about a group of owls? Anyone know what that's called? It's called a parliament. Weird, right? All right, now here's the one, I've kind of saved it for last. What about a group of vultures that are on the ground? So they're not flying, they're not in a tree, but they're just standing on the ground. Does anyone know what they're called? The term is, they're called a committee. I wonder, I just think of Washington and all the committees they have there. I wonder if there's some connection there. I don't know, you know. You have to wonder. But these terms are really strange, and there's even stranger ones that you can look up. But what do you do when you have a group of people that are together? There's different names that we might use. Might call them, you know, a race of people. You might call them a tribe of people. You might call them, a culture of people. Use all kinds of different terms, right, for people. Well, what about believers? You know, we have different terms as well when believers come together. And in the Bible, there's actually two terms that are the most common that are used. One is congregation. And the other word that's used as a group of people is church, a church. And so each one of these words, unlike some of those other terminologies for other things, have true meaning, biblical meaning. So a congregation doesn't just mean a group of believers that are together. It literally means that each one has a purpose. The example is this here. I have it takes a battery, but it's still a mechanical watch. And so inside this watch are all kinds of different gears and springs. And what would happen if I took just one part out of this watch? there's a good chance that probably wouldn't work or work properly. In other words, there's no extra pieces in it. You know, obviously the manufacturers don't want to waste money and time in making pieces that aren't needed. And so each part does what? It interlocks together and works together to make the watch work. And literally, that's what the word congregation means. It means that every part having its place to function together to make the whole work. And so literally, that's what we are as a congregation. Each one of us play a role or have a purpose within that group. And the word church, again, here's it means something. And literally, the word church means this, called out ones. Called out of what? Well, called out of this world, called out of darkness into light, called to worship Him, called to adore Him and put Him first in our lives. And so the word congregation and church, in a sense, work together to describe who we are. You know, another term, the body of Christ. And again, that speaks of a physical body, each part having a role to play for that body to function. And so our purpose as a church or as a congregation should be to do what? Ultimately, to glorify God, right? That's what we're to do. So how do we do that? And that's really what I want to talk to you about today, because each one of us have a role, have a purpose as a collective body, as the church, as a congregation. And so with that in mind, I want to take a couple minutes to share what our core values are as a church, as Reach Out Church. You see, there's some common core values that every Christian church should have. Obviously, that Jesus is Lord, that the only way to the Father, the only way to heaven is through faith in Jesus. You know, there are different, you know, important things that every Christian church should believe and have as part of their major doctrine. But each church has a uniqueness. In a sense, just as you know, we're one body, then another church is another body, and those bodies, we all function together to do what? See globally Jesus glorified. So each one of us have slightly different roles. Sometimes even just our whether we're in a rural area or in a city area, you know, that changes our role a little bit. So there's a lot of different variables that cause that. But if you have your apps, your Bibles, however you want to get there, Matthew chapter 28. Beginning of verse 19 says this, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age." And so as we look at this scripture, it talks about going and making disciples. In verse 20, it talks about teaching them. And so our first core value, so to speak, it's so important to us that it actually it's on the top of the, it's on the roof of the church, on the ceiling, right here. You know, to reach the lost, to train them up, and to send them out. And so literally, that's what it says in Matthew 28, verses 19 to 20. So the idea is to reach the lost, meaning those that don't know Jesus. So we're reaching out to them, right? And to share the good news of the Lord. And then when they come to know Him, what do? We don't just sit around and do nothing. We train them. We help them come to a deeper, better understanding of who the Lord is, that God has a purpose for their life, a plan for their life. And then as they get to a certain place of maturity, what do? In turn, they go out. So they're sent out. And then this whole thing starts again, right? As they go out and find someone or someones and lead them to the Lord, they come in, right? And they're trained to go out. So there's just this cycle that goes. Not all churches believe that. There are actually certain groups of churches, because of a certain doctrine in their church, believe that God will just send people to them if they're saved. And basically, they just sing kumbaya and hold hands, I guess. And I don't know what they do, to be quite honest with you. But, you know, that's they're just in church. And if people come to them, so be it. If they don't, that's God's will. But Jesus very clearly told us to go. I just read the scripture, and it's not the only place. There's dozens of other places that we are to go into the world. And that doesn't necessarily mean to the other side of the planet. It could mean that your job is your mission field. Your school is your mission field. Your home is your mission field to your family. You know, the first people that my wife led to the Lord were our kids. It was awesome. You know, they're just young, right? And they literally said, you know, I want to know Jesus. And she led them to Jesus right there in our house. We didn't have to go too far, if you know what I'm saying. And it's amazing to see the Lord move in our homes and in our schools and at work and wherever we go. That's what God's called you and I to do. So that's our first core value. There's another core value that's just as important, because we can't do what I've just talked about without this next core value. So I have another scripture to share with you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. Here's what it says. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus. So it's God's heart to sanctify us, our spirit, our soul, and body. In other words, every essence of who we are, all three parts of who we are, you know, our tent, you know, which is our body, our soul, which is our mind, our will, our emotions, and then our spirit, that part where God lives. In other words, it's God's heart for us to be sanctified. In other words, to become more pure as each day goes on. Is there any perfect people here? Notice my hand's not up. None of your hands are up. And here's why. None of us are perfect yet, but we've been changed. And that's the important part. And so our second core value is this: hope, healing, and wholeness. The idea that as individuals, when you come to know the Lord, that there is a hope of eternity. That there's a hope that your future can be better and brighter than what your past has been. That God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And that in that, there's healing to be found. Whether it be physical healing, emotional, psychological healing, whatever healing is necessary, that God will help you to bring you to a better place than you were before. But it's progressive, isn't it? You know, I have yet to meet a person that accepts Jesus and like, poof, they're instantly, every part of their life was perfect. They have perfect bodies, you know, perfect thinking, like literally perfect in every way. That's just not the way God works. He works one day at a time, renewing us daily in our walk with Christ Jesus. And bringing us to what? A place of wholeness. And a better way to look at it is more wholeness. Because again, none of us are perfect. Now, one of the dangers or one of the things that Satan will do, your enemy of your soul will do, is say you're not good enough yet to share what God has done in your life. Well, listen to me. When will you be good enough? Are you to put the measure on that and decide, okay, yeah, I think I'm good enough now to share? Listen, your goodness, whatever goodness you have, isn't yours anyways. It's what Jesus has done in you. And so you and I are to take what God has done. I'm going to say something, and this may bug some people. Some of the most effective people in sharing the gospel have known Jesus the shortest time. You know why? They don't know any better. You know, they're just on fire because they've been touched by Jesus, and they have the reality of that transformation that happened where they were going to hell, and now they're going to heaven, and they know that something has happened. Now, they may still be doing X, Y, and Z as far as habits and lifestyles. And you know, they could be quite a mess still. But let me tell you something. They change more people than some of us who are seasoned. Sometimes we're so seasoned that we're so tough and so hardened that we forget the joy of our salvation. In fact, that was a prophetic word this very morning talking about that. That we've forgotten our joy. That we're to worship in joy. That we're to experience the goodness of God. Sometimes we forget that. We forget how much God has done because we've been in the Lord for so long, it's become so commonplace that we forget that much of the world aren't experiencing even what we have. And God has called you and I to take what we have, as imperfect as we are, and share what we do have. Amen? So, so important. I can't encourage you enough to do that. So those are our core values in a sense. So, so important to who we are. And again, each church can be a little bit different in how they view things. But hope, healing, and wholeness as individuals, and then as we grow in that, we then can reach out, train up, and then send out. That's how it works here at Reach Out. So why am I telling you all this? Well, first of all, I thought it was important to tell you what our core values are. I haven't talked about it in a couple of years. And it's important, again, to go back to basics. Why do we exist as a church? Is it just to sing songs to Jesus, hear hopefully an encouraging word, and then go back home? No, it's to prepare us for the purpose that God has for us. So the church as a whole has a purpose. And I want to let you know that if you've been part of this church, financially supporting and being here, that and those online supporting as well, that you already are fulfilling one of the greatest purposes that God has for the church. And we've been doing it for you. So thank you. You know, thank us, okay? Just so you know. And I'll explain in a minute. Over the last 30 years, all the time that I've been here, this has always been a church that has sowed beyond its walls. In other words, there are some churches when they receive tithes and offerings, basically it stays to, you know, keep the lights on, the heat going, all of that. And listen, let me tell you, your tithes and your offerings does go to that, or else we wouldn't be in a warm, cozy place today, all right? So it goes that. But it goes beyond that. You know, we as a church, for ever since I remember, have been giving more than 10% of what comes in out. In other words, it's not directly connected to us, but out to other organizations who are doing things that we can't do. You know, we do mission trips. You know, we go to the DR, Haiti. We've been to Romania. We've been to Hungary. Dozens of different places around the world over the years. And so we do reach out physically and do that. But there are some places, because of culture, because of legalities, all kinds of different reasons, that we can't go. But there are other organizations that are going there and can do it far better than we can. And so a portion of what you give goes out. And let me tell you something. We're not talking a few dollars. Tens upon tens of thousands of dollars from this little church, you hear where I'm going, go out to the rest of the world. Tens upon tens of thousands, and I'm not exaggerating in any way, all right? Every year, that's not from the beginning, that's every year, tens upon tens of thousands goes out. And you might say, how's that possible? Well, as each one of you and me give our small part, and we as the church, as the body come together, your bits add to more bits, which means finances that go out and reach the world. It's amazing. And so we have 10-plus organizations that we support on a monthly basis. And I wish I could talk about all 10 of them and how awesome they are and all that. It's all available on our website. You go to reachoutchurch.com. Under what we do, you'll see missions. Click that. The list is all there with all the links where you can go and really check these people out and organizations. They're amazing. But here's what's happened, and this is what I want to say to you. As COVID began to happen, you know, before the new year, you know, we've been in this for quite a while, I was praying and I was kind of having a woes to me time. Anybody have a woes to me time during COVID? Okay. How many are just having a woes to me without COVID? It really doesn't matter about COVID. All right. All right. Well, anyway, I was having a woes to me kind of because of COVID. I kind of complained, like, Lord, you know, there's all these things that we wanted to do some outreaches. And, you know, we haven't been able to go to the DR with our mission team because of COVID. And, you know, like everything I said was because of COVID. And the Lord, you know, basically said, are you done whining? I'm like, you know, and so I kind of settled down in my spirit and said, okay, Lord, I'll listen now. And he said, look, at you know, you're acting like you're being oppressed. You're acting like the devil's winning. I said, well, that's not true, because I know what the scriptures say, that we have the victory through Christ. And so essentially, I was kind of in this defeatist kind of place, and I knew that's not where God wants me to be. How many people know God doesn't want you to feel that way? He doesn't. And so I said, Lord, well, what do you want to do? And all of a sudden, I felt this urgency to push back harder. And when I say that, it wasn't like against any person or anything like that. It wasn't like an oppression that way. But, you know, that's how I kind of feel COVID is. It's kind of like this wave, this wall that's kind of pushing. And the Lord said, don't be in a defensive stance, but be offensive. In other words, push back harder than it's pushing you. And I said, well, Lord, how can we do that? He said, well, son, why don't you just give more? Why don't you just give more? And I began to think about the church and all that we are already doing. And I said, Lord, what do you want to do? He said, you need to give more to missions. And I said, I know lots of churches, Lord, nobody is doing that. Like, nobody. He says, well, you're not like them. See, we're a unique church. We're a church that believes in the power and the presence of Jesus in spite of circumstances. And in a sense, we had to put our money where our mouth was as well. In other words, we had to act. And so the elders, we all got together and we just talked about this. And I said, look, you know, let's do more missions. And knowing them, if you know, their heart is for the same thing, you know, push out. And so that's what we decided. So beginning in January, we actually are supporting 3 new organizations. We started, you know, and we're like, hey, are we going to have enough money to do this? And we're like, you know, we're just going to do this. God wants us to. He's going to make a way. And I can tell you, God has been faithful to this very point. And so now we're giving out, you know, tens of thousands of more dollars now as a result of supporting these 3 new organizations. I don't want to dismiss the others we're already supporting. I don't want you to think they're unimportant. They are. But I can't take time to talk about all of them this morning. But I want to, for a few minutes, share a little bit about the 3 new ones that if you're part of this body, you are supporting already. Amen? And the first one is called Nation to Nation. Brick Cliff is the leader of that organization. He's been here and spoken here over the years, and we have supported him and taken up offerings when he came, but just kind of like a one-off. He came and we gave him an offering and he left. But now we've begun to support him on a monthly basis. So rather than me talking about it, we got a short video clip that talks about what they do. So you want to run that?
It helped me a lot, nation to nation. It helped me a lot. There was knowledge I couldn't get before, but I got it. Really, nation to nation is not a simple university. It is a university that can make people to be as God wants them to be.
Nation to Nation Christian University schools are training thousands of students all across Latin America, East Africa, and the U.S. Many N2NCU students are pastors who have not had the opportunity to attend a traditional seminary because of limited finances, time, or ability to travel.
The Tanzanians pastors, they could not go to school. They're afraid that when they go to school, people will come to teach heresies in their churches. End-to-end program is helping the pastors in Tanzania because they will learn and they will stay there and still taking care of their members' church.
Most of them are pastors in the church around, and also most of them are people who are not able to get to school because of the school fees. Now they have the opportunity to train, and then in future they hope they will be able to assist me in training.
Nation to Nation Christian University is an international video-based program which trains pastors and Christian workers in ministry, Christian leadership, biblical studies, and community development. N2NCU is designed to be practical and relevant so that students can grow in their personal lives and as leaders in their churches and communities.
From lesson one to lesson six, everyone were led to start going into village to try to give what we have received.
Outsiders, the people who are not members of the church, are also touched by our program, because as our people in the church learns and receive this material, they are also applying to their lives, everyday lives, which is also connected to the community they live in.
Your prayer and financial support help to ensure that Nation to Nation Christian University schools continue to change lives and impact communities where they are needed most. If you would like to know more about what Nation to Nation Christian University is doing to change lives and impact communities around the world, visit us at n2ncu.org/global.
We really appreciate you for the good work that you're doing. Never grow weary of doing good, because there are so many people out there that really need this study. I've discovered that it is having a lot of substance, it is relevant to this generation, and it is easy to understand. So thank you very much for the Nation to Nation.
Amen. Amazing organization. They are in 35 countries and have over 1,500 Bible schools right now. And they're believing to go into 6 new nations every single year. And they've been doing that the last number of years. Our own Bible school that we have here at Reach Out is actually one of the Nation to Nation accredited Bible schools. We've got, I think, 20 or 22 students that have been involved in that. So God's doing some amazing things right here through the Bible school, but out in the world as well. I did about a 10-minute Zoom interview with Pastor Britt Cliff that is available on our YouTube channel. Also, for those watching online, we'll post the link as well as an email that, if you're part of our email that you get every week, we'll have the link where you can go watch that. He has an incredible story of how he got involved and this whole thing was birthed. It's just an amazing testimony. This next organization is actually based on a person that is right here, part of our body. In fact, of all the different organizations that we support, to be honest with you, this is my favorite one, and it's probably because who runs it. And so, listen, put your hands together for Pastor Victorious as he comes up.
Thank you, Carl. Amen. Good to be here. Good to see you folks today. I'm going to share with you a little bit about a ministry I've been involved with for the last 4 years, or 3 to 4 years. And before I do, I'm going to say some things in the next, 5 to 10 minutes, and it's going to make it sound like that it's all about me. But I want you to know that there's someone who works with me very closely, and I probably would not be here if it wasn't for her. So I'm going to ask my wife to stand up. Dee, say hello to everybody. Just as a side note, I've tried to get her to do some videos with me, and she's resisted. But she did do one on cooking, so she has a cooking video. Anyway, let's get back to this. For those who don't know me, and some of you will not know me, who I am, and certainly those in the viewing audience, but my name is Pastor Vic Torres. I was the pastor of this church, the senior pastor here, from 1994 until, I believe, 2017, at which time I retired. And it reminds me of a phrase that we used to use in the day where pastors don't retire, they refire. And that's true, I believe, of anyone who feels called to the ministry. You never get to retire from that. There's always something more that you can do, even though you may not have a job or a vocation where you're actively involved. But in 2018, I felt impressed to do something in terms of reaching out to third world pastors. And just as you heard with Brick Cliff and End-to-End, I know his philosophy is that if you reach the pastors and the leaders, then they will multiply whatever you do because they're going to reach the people that they minister to. And so that's always been my desire, but I never knew how. And I want to encourage you, sometimes you don't know how to begin something in the Lord. Let me tell you what you need to do. You just need to start. And once you start, what you're going to find is that God will open doors if you're willing to go through them, and incredible things will begin to happen. Now, if you can put the first slide up, that is my page on my website, but it's also something that I use on all of my media outreaches. And it's sort of a branding page so that when people see this page, they know exactly what they're getting themselves into. But you'll see it's the website is called Pastor Vic's Nuggets. And some people have asked, well, where did that name come from, Pastor Vic's Nuggets? Well, when I was pastoring, very often I would have little side messages along with the main message, and I would call them nuggets. And I'd say, here, I've got a nugget for you. And I know some of the children, I remember they were sitting over in that side, and as soon as I would say nugget, they're thinking chicken nuggets. But these are nuggets of truth. And when I came up with a name, I had several close friends tell me, that is a strange name for a website. But nevertheless, I felt this is what the Lord wanted, and so I began to pursue that. And so if you can put that up again, that slide, it says Pastor Vic's Nuggets of Truth. And you'll see a statement there that to become a Christian is a gift, but to grow as a Christian requires knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And so that has really been my heart, to help pastors and leaders to grow in their relationship, not only with the Lord, but with the Word of God and with ministry in general. The next slide. Now, I've sort of entitled this Reaching Pastors and Leaders in Asia, Africa, South America, and Central America. These are the four major parts of the world that the Lord has really put upon my heart. From 1993 to 2015, the time that I spent here at Reach Out, I went to 29 different third world nations. And I went as part of a team. I didn't just simply go out on my own, but I went as a part of a team. And all of the nations that I went to were impoverished nations or emerging nations. As I said before, I tried to encourage them to send me to Hawaii. That didn't work out. Bahamas, that didn't work out. But they would send me to Africa, to India, to Pakistan, and places like that. But nevertheless, during that time is when I really began to feel a burden for the third world nation pastors, because they have nothing. They have just, very often it's just a hovel or just a shack that they live in. And by American standards, they really are an impoverished people. They don't have access like we have access to the internet. They don't have access and availability of books and materials which they can purchase. They barely have Bibles in many of the villages where I've been to. So you can imagine when you're exposed to this time and time again, there's something that rises up inside of you that says, I want to do something. But I don't know how. But in any case, working with two ministries, Harvest Preparation International Ministries. Some of you are familiar with that ministry. It's Don Richter's ministry. And I'm thankful to him because he basically taught me and encouraged me to be a conference seminar speaker for the Lord. Then I hooked up with the World Map, which is an organization I'm still involved with. And they have the same vision, the same heart to train pastors. So just a little chronology here on the next slide here. You'll see that I retired in 2017. 2018 did my first video blog. Video blog is just what it sounds like. It's a blog that is done through video. And I have to tell you, I did it with a 35-millimeter camera that had a video mode. It was pretty primitive. But nevertheless, we started in January 2018 to the present day. I've done 113 videos in that time and posted them on a various ways, which I'll get to in a moment. In the following year, in March of 2019, I started to podcast, which is basically audio, and then just this year I started something called Sermon Helps, and made that available. Now let me clarify: all of this material is available free of charge, and it's all downloadable. It's not a matter of just viewing, looking at it, but you can download the video, use it for your own use. You can download the audio, use it for your own use, and you can download the transcripts, the written material, for your own use. And so these have been made available. And as of today, over 17,000 downloads of that material. I'm not talking about people who just simply watch material, but actually downloaded. And I believe that hopefully they're using that material as well. I started something called Sermon Helps just this year. I realized that over 20 years of ministry, I had over 1,000 messages that I had compiled and used over the years. And of course, every message I gave, I always typed in the notes on Microsoft Word. And so I'm slowly converting them into sermon starters or to help pastors and leaders, to help them with gaining ideas and themes for messages. In any case, As we go a little bit further on here to the next slide, I want to just close off with this slide. When I started, some of you here helped me get started. You may recall I came and I asked you to follow me on YouTube, to subscribe to my YouTube channel, because that was the very first thing that I tried to reach out to. And as I recall, we started with about 135 people, probably all of them from Reach Out, who volunteered to subscribe to YouTube so that I could get a YouTube channel. And I thought that was it. But what I discovered is that the people I were trying to reach were continents away. And they don't, believe it or not, they don't all use YouTube. So I started with about 300 subscribers. I have about 350 now. And as I said a moment ago, about 17,000 international downloads. In other words, God created a way to reach the people, the very people that I had, that I felt he wanted me to reach. On YouTube, I've only got about 150. You know, I was hoping to go viral, but it just never happened. I don't care, because what happened next was incredible. I tried Twitter. Twitter didn't work for me. I tried Pinterest even. Pinterest didn't work for me. I didn't want to get involved with Facebook. But what I discovered is that Everybody in the world, no matter how impoverished they are, they have a cell phone. They have smartphones. And one app that they all have is Facebook. And so I started to a Facebook profile, and I have 5,000 followers on my Facebook profile. Virtually all of them are international. It's like there are over 50 countries that are represented in that 5,000, because I selectively choose to friend only those who are pastors or leaders or involved in ministry. So we're talking about 5,000 people who are in ministry and affecting who knows how many people beyond that. The on a Facebook profile, if you don't know, you're limited to 5,000. You can't go beyond that. So I had to open a what's called a Facebook page, which is unlimited. And I have about 1,500 subscribers on my Facebook page. But the Facebook page is the way you reach the world. As you can see, in the last 30 days, that represents two messages, that represents two videos, two video blogs, and two podcasts. It's reached over 260,000 people in Africa, South America, Asia, and Central America. These are targeted. They are reaching people in the third world. Now, I have to tell you, 260,000 is just a drop in the ocean when it comes to the population of all those countries. But reaching 260,000 people in just the last 30 days is only God can do that. Now, I have to be honest, reaching 260,000 people isn't the same as 260,000 people actually using the material. But of the 260,000, 17,000 have actually engaged. They've actually used the material. And so when I started, I didn't know what I was doing. I just felt I need to go in this direction. I didn't know how to do it. But one thing that I did, and I want to encourage you in the same way, is you take one step at a time. We are called to walk by faith and not by sight. If we walked by sight, we wouldn't try anything. But when we walk by faith, we know that there is one who can open doors and create opportunities that you can never imagine. And I want to thank Reach Out Church for deciding to support me this year, because I've never accepted any donations. If you go to my website, you'll see there's no donation button. Freely received, I freely give. And so it's a joy to me that the church that I pastored for 23, 24 years has decided to get behind what I'm doing with Pastor Vic's Nuggets. If you'd like to check me out, hey, just go on the internet, type in Pastor Vic Nuggets. It's going to pop up. Something will pop up. It's amazing how the internet works, but you'll find something there. And I encourage you to take a look. And if you know people in foreign countries, man, inform them of what's available. Amen? And I know there's a lot out there, but God has chosen to use someone from Reach Out Church to reach the world. Amen? God bless you. Thank you for giving me your time.
Amen. That's my favorite organization that we support. I'm a bit biased, but that's okay. Amen. This last organization that we support, and we're a few minutes from being finished this morning, is actually maybe one of the more unusual ones. Here's why. All the other organizations that we support, all the 10 others, we have connected to them through relationship. In other words, we knew them, or someone knew someone who knew someone, and we connected, and then over time, we began to support them. This organization, we sought out, actually. And it was due to prayer, due to what the Word says. The Bible says in Psalms 122, verse 6, it says it's elsewhere as well, but it says this, to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And basically, the importance of the Jewish nation and the importance of Israelis. You know, Abraham is the father of our faith. Jesus was a Jew. At the end of time, the Bible says in the book of Revelation, 144,000 Jews will go and witness of Jesus around the globe. So I believe that God is not done with Israel, and we as the Christian church should be concerned about that and should be finding ways to reach out to the Jewish nation. Well, anybody here speak Hebrew? I don't. I know a few Hebrew words. How about the culture? You know, if you got the money to go there and spend, you get what I'm saying. So it's just not a place that is practical for us as a church to get involved with in a direct way. Yet this organization is there. They're boots on the ground. They're vetted. We vetted them with other organizations. These guys are top notch. So have a look at this. Just 3-4 minute video. This is our final organization that we're supporting that we want to tell you about this morning.
Shalom, I'm Eris Soref, the president of One for Israel Ministry, and I want to give you just a glimpse into what God is doing in Israel and how He's working through our ministry. Our college and seminary was established in 1990 with the vision of training ministers for the rapidly growing Jewish and Arab churches in Israel. We are, in fact, the only accredited Hebrew-speaking seminary in the world. And today, many Jewish and Arab believers come from all over Israel to study Bible, theology, counseling, and practical ministry. And from our programs, thousands of graduates are working in Arab and Jewish ministries all over Israel, spreading the light of the gospel. Training up ministers and Bible teachers in Israel is a crucial work, as we are experiencing an unprecedented awakening here in Israel through our media outreach programs. The gospel videos and testimonies have reached over 90 million views globally, and in Israel alone, over 27 million views on YouTube and Facebook. Israel is a startup nation, and our people spend more time online and on their phones than almost any other country in the world. The street ministry today is not in the local square, but online. And with social media platforms, our team is having incredible engagement with over 4 views per Israeli of our online outreach in Hebrew. One of the most powerful aspects of our media outreach is the fact that we're also a Bible college. So we have the best theological minds developing content from apologetics to discipleship and spiritual growth. Our Facebook communities and website platforms are not just a great destination for Jewish seekers, but an enriching resource for the Messianic community in Israel. And from Israel, we are reaching the world with resources in English like imetmessiah.com. And we've had our videos translated into Russian and many other foreign languages. And being One for Israel, we have a powerful unity with our Arab brothers and sisters as well. Our Bible college is training and encouraging the Arab church here in Israel. And our Arabic outreach team is producing powerful films and daily responding to seekers from all over Israel, Egypt, and the entire Middle East. Also, with Agape FM, we are the only Messianic radio station in Israel, delivering powerful worship and encouragement in Hebrew 24/7. We've also launched an exciting program to disciple the believers serving in the Israeli Defense Forces, providing teaching and conferences to strengthen their faith and encourage them as they serve our country. Our local outreach also blesses Holocaust survivors and provides for mothers at risk with our pro-life and humanitarian aid programs. We've seen amazing progress in the last 30 years of ministry, but I'm convinced that the work that God has begun in this day is going to be unlike any others. And we need your prayers and support to see it through. So join us, hand in hand, and become one for Israel.
Amen. Pretty cool, right? Amen. Let's stand together. I have a question for you. It's just you're standing. And this is for the mature believers that are here. If you consider yourself a mature believer, this is my question to you. Are you going or are you sending? See, that's That's really the reality of it. As mature believers, that's what we're all called to do. We either go ourselves, in other words, we get involved directly and we're on missions, doing missions, we're actively involved physically ourselves, or we're equipping and helping others to go. We're sending them. And we can do that a couple of different ways, obviously through prayer. That's very important. I don't want to diminish that in any way. But through our finances, let's just be real. It costs money. You know, if you're going to go, it costs you money to go. You know, if someone else goes, it costs them money. So you're either going or you're sending or a combination of the two. And I would hope that for most people here and even those watching online, that you're doing a combination of those things. Because we all should be going and at times we should be sending. And that's why we as an organization, as a church, are supporting other organizations that can go to places that we can't. So we're sending them in a sense. And so what's your part in all this? Well, of course, I want you to be prayerful about this. But in your giving, to consider over and above your regular tithes to say, hey, I want to support missions. And so we've made that easier for all of us. You know, at this point in the past, if we took up an offering for a special missionary or organization, we would have an extra tab added to our app online. But now there's a permanent tab, and it says Global Impact. And so that's basically missions. And so in your giving, again, you want to give a special gift to missions, to, you know, affect the globe, so to speak. It's there for you. It's going to be there forever from this time on. And again, we may have special guests from time to time, and we'll have another tab for them, you know, when we take up special offerings. But that's available for you. Again, we want to give you the opportunity. Now, here's what's mind-blowing. Think about this. We're all going to get to heaven, those that believe in Jesus. You're going to get to heaven, and somebody one day is going to come up to you and say thanks. And you're like, who are you, dude? Like, you know, you're like, who are you? And you're like, didn't you know? And you'll be like, what do you mean, didn't I know? It was your money that brought this other person to share Jesus with me, and I got to heaven because of you. Wow. I want to see a whole lot of those happen. You know what I'm saying? And I'm sure you do as well. So let's close in prayer and just believe that we continue to fulfill our purpose as a church, not only here locally with all the different things that we do as a church here locally, but around the globe as well. Amen? I think it's awesome, you know, little reach out church. You get what I'm saying, you know? Making a difference, making a global impact around the world. I'm so blessed to be a part of that. Amen? I pray you are as well. Father, I thank you for every person that's physically here. Thank you for those that have been watching online, and I pray that they've been encouraged, Lord God. I pray, Lord, if those online aren't connected to a church, that Lord, if they're not local, they get connected to a church that's local to them. And for those that are watching and because of COVID and various other reasons, Lord God, I pray that if they're local, they get connected to us. I believe we're a good church, a church of purpose, fulfilling the destiny you've called us to. But Lord, that we get connected in a real tangible way, connected not only physically, but spiritually, that we're goers and or we're senders. Father, I thank you for every person here. I speak a blessing over them as they go out to their mission fields, as they go and reach out to their world that they can influence. Bless each one, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have any prayer needs, we are here to pray for you. If you're online watching, they'll put the phone number up that you can text us your prayer request. We are here for you. God bless you.